Gobijana balava giri paradari Gobijana balava giri paradari Vasudha nandana bhagatana randana Vasudha nandana bhagatana randana Ramuna tira banajari Tira banajari Ramuna tira banajari Tira Gobijana balava giri paradari Gobijana balava giri paradari Vasudha nandana bhagatana randana Vasudha nandana bhagatana Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Banachari Tira Banachari Jamuna Tira Banachari Tira
Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Ki Jaya Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jaya Vrindavan Dham Ki Jaya Mayapur Dham Ki Jaya Ganga Mayi Ki Jaya Jamuna Mayi Ki Jaya Srimati Tulsi Devi Ki Jaya Bhakti Devi Ki Jaya Samaveda Bhaktavinda Ki Jaya All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, Hari Hari Bo. Krishna Prasthai Bhutale Sri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Kiyomi Orbani Vajrani Nevasesha Sunyavadi Pastitari. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 60. Krishna teases Rukmini, text number 44.
Tasya syurachyuta nripa bhavato padishta. Srinam griheshu karago svavidala britya. Yat karna mula marikarsana no payayat. Yushmat katha mrida virincha subha sugita. Tasya syurachyuta nripa bhavato padishta. Srinam griheshu karago svavidala bhritya. Yat karna mula marikarsana no payayad. Yushmat katha mrida virincha sabha sugita. Tasya syurachyuta nripa bhavato padishta. Srinam griheshu karago svavidala bhritya. Yat karna mula marikarsana nopayayat. Yushmat katha mrida virincha sabha sugita. Tasya surachyuta nripa bhavato padishta.
Word for word. Tasya.
Tasya.
Of her.
Of her.
Suhu. Let them become the husbands.
Let them become the husbands.
Achyuta.
Achyuta.
O infallible Krishna.
O infallible Krishna.
Nripah.
Nripah.
Kings.
Kings.
Bhavata.
By you.
Upadishtaha.
Upadishtaha.
Mentioned.
Srinam,
of women, Griheshu, in the homes, Khara, as asses, Go, oxen, Shwa, dogs, Vidala, cats, Britya, and slaves, Yat, whose,
Karna,
of the ear, Mulam, the core, Ari, your enemies. Karshana.
Darshanam.
O you who vex.
O you who vex.
Na.
Na.
Never.
Never.
Upayayat.
Upayayat.
Come near.
Near.
Yushmat.
Yushmat.
Concerning you.
Concerning you.
Katha.
Katha.
Discussions.
Discussions.
Mrida.
Mrida.
Of Lord Shiva.
Of Lord Shiva.
Virincha.
Vinincha.
And Lord Brahma.
And Lord Brahma.
Savasu.
Savasu.
In the scholarly assemblies.
In the scholarly assemblies.
Gita.
Gita.
Sung.
Sung. Translation. O infallible Krishna, let each of the kings you named become the husband of a woman whose ears have never heard your glories, which are sung in the assemblies of Shiva and Brahma. After all, in the households of such women, these kings live like asses, ox, dogs, cats, and slaves. So when I read this verse, each time I read it, what is the subject of this? Who is she addressing? What is she addressing? It says, O infallible Krishna, let each of these kings, so it seems like she's talking about the kings you name, become the husband of a woman. Okay, so now it's talking about the woman. So what's this woman that she's talking about, whose ears have never heard the glories? So now she's talking about Krishna's glories that these women have never heard. The husbands are going to become the husbands of these women. And then, what is the specific quality of these glories? Who listens to these glories? Where are these glories to be heard? They're heard in the assembly of Shiva, Brahma, and it also mentions the scholarly assemblies. We're listening to the glories of Krishna. So if we listen to these glories, then we're not qualified to get husbands of the wives that have never listened to these glories. So that's also a point there. After all, now we're back to the husbands again. In these households of such women, the women who have never heard the glories of the Lord, which are chanted in assemblies of Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, these elevated assemblies, what do they live like? If you have a woman who hasn't heard and you become the husband of a woman who hasn't heard, these kings, even though they're kings, they're going to live like asses, ox, dogs, cats, and slaves. So here's the purport. I just thought it was, each time you read it, you can see a different, who it's being directed to. So she has different points in here, the wives, the glories, the husbands, and the qualities of the husbands that are married to the wives that are hadn't heard the glories that are sung. Okay, purport. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, these fiery words of Queen Rukmini are a response to Lord Krishna's opening statement found in text 10 of the chapter. You want to read text 10? Just in case we may have forgotten. Can you read it, Keshava? Text 10, 60, 10.
The Supreme Lord said, "My dear princess, you were sought after by many kings as powerful as your rulers of planets. They were all abundantly endowed with political influence, wealth, beauty, generosity, and physical strength.
So now she's... I'll read more of the purport. It's kind of interesting here how it develops. The Supreme Lord had said, "My dear princes, you are sought..." "You are sought after by many kings as powerful as rulers of planets." Seems powerful. "They are all abundantly endowed with political influence, wealth, beauty, generosity, and physical strength. According to Srila..." Oh, thank you. "According to Sridhar Swami, Queen Rukmini here speaks with anger, pointing her index finger at the Lord." So, now, if anybody's ever been in a situation where someone is speaking with anger, pointing their finger at you, they may say things they ordinarily don't say. A lot of times we have our situation fairly much under control, at least we try to. But then certain circumstances develop that you go out of control, and anger is generally, that one really does it too. You say things, but of course, we have to remember that there's the external energy and the internal energy. So there's a saying, better to have a gentleman as your enemy than a fool for your friend. Everybody remember that one? Because a gentleman, even though he's your enemy, he'll never do anything that will harm you. But a fool who's your friend, even though he's your friend, he'll always get you in trouble. He'll always do something stupid to just get you in trouble. So here, Rukmini, everything she does is the internal potency, is a sweetly attractive to Krishna, has all these wonderful qualities. In fact, this is what Krishna specifically had designed this pastime for, is for her to generate this quality where she's out of her normal, what she's going to say and do. Now she's pointing her finger and she's talking angrily, and it's so wonderful because, actually tomorrow's class gets really funny. We're gonna have this is one of the original, we used to call them in ISKCON bag classes. When this body, what's this body anyway? In the 70s, they would always tell you, you're attached to a body. This body's nothing but a bag filled with all kinds of different elements, and on the outside, mustaches grow and hairs grow and nails grow and all these. So now we know that's tomorrow's class. But for today, she's pointing her finger and she compares these so-called great princes to asses because they carry many material burdens, to the ox because they are always distressed while performing their occupational duties, to dogs because their wives disrespect them, to cats because they are selfish and cruel, and to slaves because they are always servile in family affairs. I had to look up that word. It means like a slave in family affairs. Such kings may appear desirable to foolish women who have never heard or understood the glories of Lord Sri Krishna. Srila Vishwanathachak or Bhadi Thakur adds that such kings are like asses because their wives sometimes kick them. We all know that example, I think. Like dogs because they behave inimically towards outsiders in order to protect their homes, and like cats because they eat the remnants left by their wives. Om Agyana Dimanandasya Janatya Asalakaya Chaksumari Tanyena Tajmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shaitam Surita Pangor Mamamanda Materkati Matsarvasa Padambojo Radha Madana Mohanam Jai. So here we have a situation that we're getting to listen to, eavesdropping on Krishna and his queen Rukmini having a discussion where Krishna was teasing her, and now getting this result that he was warning. And in these instructions for us, we can see Rukmini speaking so eloquently about the material nature. Because in Krishna consciousness, especially since we're up to the 10th canto, having already studied Sri Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita, and the first 9 cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the minds have been developed to understand self-realization. And in self-realization, one understands that the soul is different from the body. The body is more or less a type of punishment that a rebellious conditioned soul is put under. And the first installment for that condition for a living entity to be in is he's giving a temporary ID. It's not really his identification as a spirit soul, but he's put under an illusion. And this illusion has him think that he is basically he's imitating God. He's in fact, if you want to look at it, because I'm going to tie it into the way she's talking here, in this time that we live in the 21st century here, there's a crime that's being committed. Not so much before, but presently there's a new crime where someone steals your identity. Everybody heard of that, stealing your identity. And it's quite horrible. They act irresponsible with your property. You know, they may have take your credit card, they may do different things, and with no regard at all for the real who the real person is. But they're thinking, I'm going to pretend I'm that person to exploit all his resources. So if that happened to anybody you know or to yourself, you get a horrible feeling. This is a terrible thing to do. I hope they catch that person and do what's required to rectify him of such a mentality like that. Anybody get a feel for what I mean? What it would be like if that happened to you? Because I try to invoke a feeling on that. So this false ego is fairly similar in the sense that you identify yourself as Krishna, but you don't have the qualities that Krishna has. You have the qualities of all exploitation. Everything that's there, you're acting just like a thief, like how you care for your funds, your energies. You're very careful how everything is done. You're balancing everything. You want to make sure that nothing's out of place in your house. You clean everything nicely. Everything is done so nicely. Now, if somebody else breaks into your house when you're not there, they don't clean everything very nicely. Everything is in great disarray if somebody actually did that, and things are missing. You've been violated. It feels quite horrible. So when the living entity rebels against Krishna, he comes to this material world, he's in a similar condition. That mentality that he had could not be accommodated in the free world, in the free living condition. It had to be restricted to a prison house because of that mentality. Now, the person that's in charge of that prison house, I'm bringing it back to Rukmini, who loves Krishna, but yet these other personalities, they don't know, they don't love Krishna. In fact, they're all trying to exploit Krishna. If you saw, suppose you were protecting someone, just like you protect your house, you protect your property, protect your husband, if you're the wife, you're this natural way that you want to keep everything nice. Now, if somebody is going to, you know, they're coming to do harm to your husband, to your house, to his property, to everything, what would you feel towards that person? You get any kind of feeling on that? What would you want to do to him? Anger. What else? What would you do to him?
A Colombian tie.
A Colombian tie. I'm not sure exactly what that is, but I have a suspicion. So, okay. So in that same mood, Rukmini expansions down the line is Durga. So because we're devotees, and a lot of times we're coming into our awakening of our consciousness of that Jivara Surpoi Krishnara Nityadas, that I'm Krishna's eternal servant. Somehow or other I've fallen into this material world, and this material world, was a Prabhupada Bhakti, is not a fit place for gentlemen. It's actually a nasty place. And if you see the persons who have never heard the glories of Krishna, the way they treat each other, the way they treat Krishna's property, the way they treat the other living entities, the animals, and the qualities are so severe, and the reactions that they get are very severe. Just to live here, you have to suffer birth, death, disease, and old age as a consequence of not hearing about Krishna. You have to identify with a body. Of course, when it's little, it doesn't know anything. So then they send it to school where you're, for many years, you're pointed out all the things that you don't know and that you're wrong. You try to be right, but still, unless you really got some pious activities, you're wrong a lot. And you get, your grades aren't that good. And then you have older brothers or sisters that aren't always nice to you. And then there's the bullies at school. So then you finally get out, finally, out of the school, and then you go to work. And most people, they just have wonderful bosses that just really care about them. Not like that. This one thinks, this guy, he's going to try to get as much money from me as he can, but he's not worth it because I got to make so much money. So I'm going to just work him until he either leaves or he just comes under the gun and actually just works like a miracle. So then, boy, that was a hard day work. So he comes home, and the dishes are still in the sink. The dinner's not ready. The wife's mad at him for something that he didn't even know he said. And then he goes through the rest of his life like that. Then he gets old. And the simple things he used to do, he can't do them anymore. He's got like, if you're right-handed, when you get old, you have two left hands. It works just like your left hand the rest of your life, but now your right hand also works like your left hand. And then you watch your body just deteriorate. You can't see as good, which is sometimes helpful because if you could see what you look like now, you're really upset. And then you die. And for the most part, you're not going to get another good birth because of the way the culture is right now. So there's a reason. I would always wonder, you mention all these things, but why is it happening like that? You know, what did we do? So here we're getting a little picture of Rukmini in the internal potency, who's manifesting a little bit of what these other people are like that come under the control of the material energy. You know, there's a reason that Lord Chaitanya, once one comes to self-realization, which in the simplest terms is simply, I accept that I'm Krishna's servant. That's the self. The eternal nature is called the self, and the eternal nature is servant. We're always serving. So here, you can't stop serving. You always want to serve someone And it says if you, there's no one to serve, then someone gets a cat or a dog. And then some years ago, even if you didn't want a cat or a dog, they used to sell you pet rocks, where you could have a pet rock. Okay. So we can't stop serving. So if we hear about Krishna, naturally we want to serve Krishna. And that's self-realization. The process is hearing. So simply by hearing about Krishna and Krishna's qualities, when will the naturally want to do that, unless there's a couple classes of people that don't do that. I think it's the butcher, the one who wants to kill his own self. And they have elaborate philosophies that try to kill the self. I think the most professional elaborate philosophy on that is like Buddhist philosophy, how to kill the self. Because Kamadevai, the desire is a part of the soul. But this, the desire is actually the creative intelligence of love. When you love someone, you want to serve, you're giving ideas of how to do that. So that's the natural place for desire. But when it gets corrupted by the material nature, then that service just, it gets so perverted that other philosophies said better to get rid of it altogether. But you can't, because it's the nature of the soul. So when they talked about Krishna, she said that the women who had never heard the qualities, I thought maybe we would just mention a couple of these qualities of Krishna. Because these her talks are actually everything that Rukmini does. It was nice. I was thinking about Rukmini today because of giving the class. And when I joined in Los Angeles, which is called New Dwarka. And the first deities that I met, who were only installed a couple weeks before I got there, was Rukmini and Dwarkadish. So for many years, I worshipped Rukmini, and she has her hand, just like Radharani. You see the hand is up like that, which is benedicting. So she's so merciful to us, especially, who are, we're worshipping Krishna, but what do we worship the deities for? What are we worshipping Krishna for? Only for their pleasure. We don't ask anything from them. We just worship Rukmini, expansion of Radharani, just for pleasing them. What a wonderful process Prabhupada gave them. That we don't ask God for anything. Generally, I used to call the conception of God before I met Prabhupada was something like a Santa Claus conception of God. I have a list, and if I'm good, because he can tell who's naughty and who's nice, so be good. And then you would get your list of what you wanted. And that was more or less the conception. But then Prabhupada said, no, we just worship for their pleasure because that's our natural position. So living in New Dwarka, we were servants of Rukmini and Dwarkadish. But through Prabhupada, through Rukmini, we would be worshiping. So everything that we're hearing here, as the classes go on, maybe in some more years, Tamahar had mentioned it also, is that these are different bhavas. These are different ecstatic symptoms. So this ecstatic symptom that Krishna, Udipan, he arranged these particular situation as a stimulus to have her ecstatic love be manifested in a particular way. The variety is the mother of enjoyment. So all these different emotions that she's experiencing and interacting with Krishna, that's the real spice of life. We would call it rasa, the spices of life, the different bhavas. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, this is listed in chapter 23, Sanatana Goswami, and it's called Life's Ultimate Goal. So these conversations that we have here in the Srimad Bhagavatam class, now that we're hearing about, this is life's ultimate goal, is to be able to hear this, understand it to some degree, have some interaction with it, with our own emotions. Sometimes, like Keisha and I were discussing how these morning programs is like 5 hours, 4 or 5 hours of like bhava. It's just it's a glimpse. You're absorbed, you're chanting your rounds, you're hearing Bhagavatam, you're worshiping Tulsi, worshiping the deities. So for like 5 hours, you get a glimpse of the spiritual existence. You have all kinds of wonderful, but unfortunately, around 9 o'clock, beep, the turn into a pumpkin. Is it the material? You have to interact with material energy more severely, and until one becomes fixed, where he can do that in any condition, he notices a change. There's some change, so he tries to do more. Well, when I joined in, it was 71, 72, the temple program was so mercifully engineered that there wasn't anything else. You moved into the temple. I remember I moved in, I had, back then, the item that you would use for all containers was milk crates. New Dwarka was built on milk crates for a couple of years. You use a lot of milk in Krishna consciousness. A lot of cows are required. So, in fact, I remember it was around 74 or 5, the milk company noticed that they were a little short on milk crates. They were shoe shelves. They were bookshelves. They were altars. They were the boxes that you carry things from one place to another. Anyway, so they pulled in with a 60-foot tractor trailer. You know those 60-foot ones like Medua or something, these giant things? And they filled it up. They're what, 8 feet high, 8 feet wide, and 60 feet long? So Kripa Sindhu could figure that out in his head. Tell you how many square feet that is, and you figure now a milk crate's about, I guess, maybe 14 by 14 or something. Anyway, so living in the temple then, I had one milk crate and a sleeping bag. That was all, everything that you had. That was all that you needed. So I got married, and I moved out. I only lived in so I took my one milk crate, I moved out. My wife was also living in the ashram. She had a milk crate. So we moved a couple blocks away, but the house was sold, but we could live in it for 2 weeks. So we lived in it for 2 weeks before our next place was ready, and I went from one milk crate to 8 milk crates. And then we lived in the other place for a little while, so then the next place I needed a small U-Haul. I think it was a 5x8 or something. So, household alike. Okay, so I'm just going to read a couple of things. When devotional service is situated on the transcendental platform of pure goodness, it is like a ray of sunshine of love for Krishna. At such a time, devotional service causes the heart to soften by various tastes. It is called bhava, or emotions. This bhava, or emotions, has two different symptoms, constitutional and marginal. Now, my dear Santan, listen to the symptoms of love. So there's two types. There's one that's constitutional. That's the nature of the soul. It's its constitutional nature. But the other is marginal. So here, some Sanskrit... In this way, the soul is purified of all material contamination, and this position is called sarup lakshana, or the constitutional symptoms of bhava, emotion. By various tastes, one's heart is softened. So how does the heart soften? It's by the different tastes. So when we hear these different qualities, just like we're hearing about Rukmini, and she's talking about the women who haven't heard these things, so their hearts haven't softened. So when it was compared that the husband is compared to an ass because sometimes the ass is kicked, who they're kicked by is not very soft. Generally, the kicking aspect of the kicked is because the heart hasn't softened by not tasting these qualities of Krishna. So as we hear these qualities, there's a change that takes place. It's actually a permanent change, punya shravanam kirtanam. So that punya, sometimes it's defined in different ways. One of the ways, I remember Nagaraj mentioned it one time, maybe about 8 or 10 years ago, but I really liked it. It permanently changes you forever, that type of piety. So this piety that we get from hearing about these qualities of Krishna, you're evolving in your consciousness, and we know that there's no loss or diminution. So these hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, coming to the temple, serving nicely with that, the pure quality, which here it's going to talk about is this marginal quality, that we can do it even though it's temporary. We still are getting this benefit. So even though we may not be able to do it 24 hours a day, we can do it for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour, couple hours. So, and it says, by various tastes, one's heart is softened, and there is an awakening of one's loving propensity to render spontaneous service to the Lord. And this is called tataksha lakshana, the marginal symptom of bhava. When bhava softens the heart completely, becomes endowed with a great feeling of possessiveness in relation to the Lord, and becomes very much condensed and intensified. And what's that called? Condensed, intensified bhava. Anybody want to take a guess? Prema. So we know. So you take bhava and then you condense it and you intensify it, and it's called prema, love of God by the learned scholars. That's from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 141. So when one develops an unflinching sense of ownership or possessiveness in relation to Lord Vishnu, in other words, when one thinks Vishnu and no one else is the only object of my love, such awakening is called bhakti, devotion, by exalted persons like Bhishma, Prahlad, Uddhava, and Narada. So here we're seeing how Krishna had Rukmini manifest this quality in her anger, which would go beyond the ordinary qualities that she manifests. You know, generally day by day, you have a certain nature, but to get her upset where she's out of her normal operating bhavas. And then at the same time for us, we can take the lesson of, as we expand it down, because of going through the other cantos and the Bhagavad Gita, how these different modes of nature work, how that serving propensity, when it gets pervertedly reflected into the material world, you're basically in the material world, everyone's thinking that they're Krishna, but they don't have the qualities that Krishna has. So, and of course, so they're going to marry someone who they're hoping will be their Radharani. Where's my energy? My sweet, loving energy. But instead, the material energy doesn't manifest those qualities. So they get a different situation. And here, we could take any one of those words. Like the dogs and the cats and the ox and the slave, and just speak on that for a long time also, but the time's up. So we'll take any questions or comments. And then, oh, we have a question over there. Thank you.
I wanted to ask what Rukmini said, and then I'm like, thank you. you. She said men are like slaves because they are forced to work in the material world, which Krishna never had to do. Men are like dogs or animals because God programmed them genetically to be completely tied to their sense organs and sex organs.
What are you reading from?
I'm just reading from my notes that I took from the class.
Okay, they're tied to their sex organs.
And I was just thinking maybe Rukmini was shaking her finger at Krishna because of this. How can Krishna really love us when he cannot feel our pain?
Well, I took a slightly different angle on that, is that when one turns away from Krishna, this natural serving propensity, it gets perverted into this material energy, and this is how it comes out, because one wants, if he's the man, he wants to be served. If it's the woman, she wants to be served. There's not much difference in the material nature. Everybody has we use in the Krishna conscious terms, Purusha and Prakriti, that one is to be served and the other is serving. So by nature, we're all Prakriti. We're all to serve. But when we come into the material world, we're in the Purusha idea that actually I should be served. And because of that discrepancy of gender change from Prakriti to Purusha, I got thoughts that I have to censor. You become a real, what do they call that thing? Anyway, I'm going to cross that one out. Beep. But it was pretty much covered in the way that you expressed the position of a dog. They're a dog in this material nature. So the pain that we experience is a little different than the actual pain, because when we feel about Krishna, he feels our pain. And he feels it just like if you have a child. Your child's a separate person from you, so there's real no direct contact. Like if they were holding onto an electric wire and you were holding onto them, you would also get the electricity passed through them to you. But because of the affection, the love that you have for your child, let's say they're now a teenager, and you give them good instructions. By your better intelligence, you know what they should do and what they should do. So you give them good instructions so they'll avoid making mistakes and being in a suffering condition. So you motivated by love, better intelligence, you give them good instructions. And you know what they do? Not what you told them. So now they're suffering like anything because they made some mistake. And you know something? You also feel that pain. Why do you feel the pain? You gave them good instructions. They're, because you love them, you feel their pain, even though they're not really connected in any physical way to you. But through empathy and through love, you feel their pain, even though you may have given them good instructions, they didn't listen to them. But you can't just say, why didn't you listen to me? You may say that. But so perhaps you'll go there or you'll have them come over to your house, and you can, so they can see how you're living nicely. And then maybe you're hoping that then finally they'll listen to you and then they'll come. So the pain that the parent feels for the child, they do feel the pain. But at the same time, they'll give you good instructions. So Krishna says, yada yada yadamsha, again and again I come. And why does he come? Out of compassion and mercy, to give us the instructions. And then we don't listen to the instructions. Then we're in trouble. Then we're feeling pain. So he feels our pain, because love means that you feel the other person's pain. It's part of empathy. That the other part, in Krishna consciousness, we use the word para dukkha dukkhi, that you feel the other person's pain, para dukkha dukkhi. So para is others, dukkha is distress, Dukhi, you also feel that distress. So devotees, they feel everyone's distress, and that's one of the main motivating qualities of a devotee. One time I was chanting my japa, and it's right after the Vanchakopa prayer that we say that the offer all respects to the Vaishnavas, who are like an ocean of compassion and mercy. So I was saying, Prabhupada, I don't know what compassion and mercy is. And I'm chanting my japa just in my normal inattentive way, looking at Prabhupada. And all of a sudden, I got a glimpse. I felt there was some kind of mercy there because I inattentively said something right by mistake. And I was thinking about that, and Prabhupada showed me everything that Prabhupada did is out of compassion and mercy for the living entities. Everything. That's his motivation, that the living entities are suffering. And Prabhupada said, if you chant, he designed a program, Kevala Anandakan, is simply blissful. You follow the path of Krishna consciousness, all your problems are gone. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Prabhupada said the guru is kinder than God, and I believe that because the guru feels our pain. God cannot really feel our pain. As a mother, I would never let my child go near a fire and get burned, and yet God allows us to get burned. And I really don't believe that God can feel our pain just vicariously, like as a parent would feel for a child. You know, we're here. And I guess my ultimate question is, why do we have to be tortured back to Godhead? If God is all attractive, we should naturally want to go back to Godhead. Krishna is all attractive. He's all love. So why build within our body 250 billion nerve endings, all designed to feel pain? We don't need to be tortured back to Godhead. We would just go there gradually, naturally. Isn't that right?
If you give good instructions, it says a word to the wise is sufficient. Everybody's heard that one. So if you give one good instruction to someone, a word to the wise is sufficient. But due to the nature of my overactive mind, I make sequels to that. So I mentioned a word to the wise is sufficient, and even a million words to a fool will not be enough. So the idea of thinking that Krishna is putting us here to be tortured is not correct. He gives us many, many opportunities. But just like it says, a word to the wise is sufficient. But for a determined thief, if you give a determined thief, you say, this is the bad thing, this is the wrong thing to do. This will cause the other person suffering. This will cause you suffering. Somehow or other, because love gives independence. You can't have love without independence. There has to be a choice to reject good instructions. And if you reject good instructions, papi yati. You know, papi means sin, papi. It's not Spanish, Sanskrit, papi means sin. And yati means suffering. There isn't, by nature, anandamoya vyasa, we're always looking for happiness. The nature of the soul is sat, chit, ananda. That's our constitutional position, is to be happy. Papi yati. He says, because of papi, there's yati. There's no yati. There's no suffering without sin first. There isn't. So if you're thinking that we're innocently being tortured, that's incorrect. The last resort, the very last resort. There's so many ways first. And we see that Krishna says, if you can just understand, just chant Hare Krishna, then all your problems will be over. All your suffering will be over. All your sins are vanquished. So it's not Krishna. He also says, I envy no one, and I'm equal to everyone. So It's like going to the prison house and saying, why is the prison house restricting me? In Krishna consciousness, we're being trained in three divisions, trikalakya, where we can see past, present, and future. Even though through the scriptures at first, just like it says, you can't see your past life, but just like sometimes you can't remember something, so you go to the mailbox and you have a bill on your credit card, and you look, why do I owe so much money? I don't have to pay this money. I didn't buy anything today. But the fact that you have the bill and the fact that you had a credit card means that you used your energy, and now you just have to you have to reimburse it. You borrowed it, now you have to pay for it. So according to your credit, you're allowed to purchase different things. And if you don't pay, then you're a thief. And so there's different ways of recouping that. So in this material world, Isha Vaishri Dham Sarvam says everything belongs to Krishna, should be used in his service. So if you think, why should I use it in Krishna's service? I'll use it for myself. So then somehow or other, the government also thinks that that's wrong. If you go into a store and you think, well, there's so much stuff in the store doesn't need it all. I need it more than the store does. I'll just take some of it with me. Why do they should object it? Look how much you got already. Well, you need a little bit of thing. I'm hungry. So somehow or other, that there's it requires a little bit more time just to read about Krishna's qualities and why the material world is and why we have a material body. And in one sense, the body is it's a jail sentence. So I go to the jail on Saturdays, and they say, well, why isn't this jail so nice? You know, why don't they treat me so nice in this jail? It's a jail. It's for reformation. There's something intrinsically wrong with the material thinking about a material. So I try to bring that up a little today about if someone comes to your place and wants to do harm and take your things, you may react like, oh, don't do that. You know, that doesn't belong to you. And then they just kind of push you aside and say another thing, and, you know, there's different reactions when you try to talk to somebody who's not Krishna conscious. We can talk afterwards. It's kind of late at this point. Are there any other questions or comments? Jai. All glories of Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.